Welcome to the Under the Capes podcast, your geek business guide. I'm going under the capes of bloggers, cosplayers, gamers, and other entrepreneurs to learn how they've built a following around doing what they love. I'm your host, Tim Ludi, and today we're going under the cape of Movers and Shakers Unlimited. How's it going, entrepreneurs? Hope everyone had a great weekend. I'm coming off a good SDCC fit kind of weekend. I ran the Falmouth Road Race down in Cape Cod. It's an annual race that me and my family does, you know, matching t-shirts, the whole nine. We get real into it, so it was a great weekend there. My guest this week is Movers and Shakers Unlimited, a new series that seeks to answer what does it take to become an innovator and icon within an industry. The goal of the series is to provide insight for aspiring entrepreneurs and artists to discover what it takes to join a particular field of interest and become successful at it. Each season hones its focus on one particular industry, and the first season was really great because it focuses on conventions and festivals, which is no surprise. My guest this week and the host, co-creator, and executive producer has a long history in the film and convention scene, Brandon Troy. He brings a lot of cool stories and insights because he actually started his career in the film industry early on as a child actor in films such as Louisville and Mars Attacks and the Showtime series Lynx. And then he started exploring roles as a director, writer, and editor. And he's also been an entertainment reporter for various outlets. And the show Movers and Shakers Unlimited covers conventions from all angles in a really cool way. They interview everyone from festival directors and convention organizers to cosplayers and exhibitors. And I'm looking forward to seeing him shine the same light on other industries when the second season comes back this winter. But he also mentioned that they will continue to cover conventions and con culture online and in other mediums in addition to the show. So that'll be really cool. This was an awesome discussion with Brandon. He's got a lot of experience doing interviews at conventions, organizing interviews, and doing these live shows in a really great way. We also talk about, you know, opening yourself up to new connections and opportunities. And you know, as a child actor and someone who got into you know, making films and just producing stuff at such a young age, he really stresses that idea of just getting started, starting young, and following your passion. So the show Movers and Shakers Unlimited is on Cox on Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, or you can watch it online at cox11.com or movershakersunlimited.com. And this is a really it's a great show for anyone trying to you know, get into an industry like this. So it's perfect for the audience of this show, and this discussion was really great, which I think you guys are going to love. So let's talk to Brandon. All right, I'm now joined by Brandon Troy from Movers and Shakers Unlimited. Brandon, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no worries, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, man. Just still recovering from San Diego, and I actually had another con that I had to go to like that following weekend back at home. So, you know, it's a never-ending thing. It seems like, you know, these days, you know, there's a con that seems to be popping up everywhere. So you never really get a moment's rest.
Yeah, I know. I've got Boston Comic Con, and I'm still recovering from San Diego. So it's going to take longer than I thought.
Absolutely.
But so yeah, can you tell us a little bit about Movers and Shakers, kind of your origin into the geek industry and how that became Movers and Shakers?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've had an interesting trajectory into the world of like media. Growing up, I actually did a little bit of like film and television, and kind of went the route of, you know, being in front of the camera. And beyond that, you know, once I hit like high school, you know, I tried to take a more formal route and actually pursue it in terms of my degree once I hit undergrad. But once I left there, I decided to kind of take a more unorthodox approach to the medium of film and television and kind of get involved with, you know, what was behind the camera, whether it was with writing or with directing. And by happen chance, stumbled upon like the advanced movie screening scene. And for those of you that are familiar with it, you know that it's a huge like underground of folks. And a lot of times when you're doing that, you cross paths with a lot of critics. And in doing that for a little while, you know, I ended up stumbling across a couple of critics that you would run into on a regular basis here back on the East Coast in DC. And they would often say, you know a lot about film and you know a lot about television. Do you ever think about, you know, perhaps like writing about it or, you know, commenting on it? And then, from that, actually, for a little while, I was writing for a friend's, a blog, Rogers Review. And, from there, talking about that same idea of that path of being in that underground with advanced screenings, friend of mine decided that he wanted to create a website of his own. He brought me along, and that's how Real Film News was born. And we've been doing that for a couple of years, covering a couple of shows and cons, expos, what have you. And in a similar situation, in going to a festival, I ran into, you know, my fellow co-creator, met Jerome Bourgeois, and in, you know, having an opportunity to, you know, chat and discuss about our similar interests, we talked about doing a show where we discussed kind of like the ins and outs of what it takes to, you know, be the heads of different industries. Because, you know, you find so often a lot of people out there that always say, oh, you know, I would love to know how to do this, or I would love to know how to do that. And, you know, they perhaps may not have the tools or the know-how of what it takes to do that. Because, you know, you see all the glitz and glamour of, you know, yes, you know, you have a CEO of this multi-million dollar or multi-billion dollar corporation, but, you know, don't understand, you know, what they had to take, the sacrifices that they had to take to get there. So, you know, from that was the idea of getting into Movers and Shakers. But, you know, when in our spare time, you know, at the end of the day, we're into all of the pop culture stuff as well. So, you know, we also have like a smaller umbrella within that brand of Movers and Shakers, where we, you know, cover cons and expos and other, you know, cool geekdom stuff. So.
Yeah, because you mentioned you're going to be doing a lot of different industries. And is it that just the love of the different cons and expos that made that festivals kind of be the first one you wanted to showcase?
Well, not necessarily. It's really more of the idea of kind of shining a light on some of the other aspects that a lot of people take for granted. Because, I mean, going back to just what I was saying, you know, a lot of people see like the, you know, the celebrities and, you know, all the cool stuff that, you know, we see, plastered in front of us all the time, but we don't understand all the minutiae, you know, boring things that are necessary in order to make shows like that run. And, you know, without those elements, we wouldn't have, you know, the shows that we, you know, that we come to love. So it's just kind of shining a light on that. Because another situation that has helped me in in bringing about that show, or should say bringing about the show, is in walks of life that I've had with other folks, just in doing interviews, especially with people in particular industries. And one particular one that I can think of offhand is some of the ones that are not as glamorous, perhaps in the film and television industry. Perhaps, you know, your composers, your folks that handle like sound effects, things like that. You know, they're so pivotal to films. And, you know, I've had situations where I've interviewed folks that do, you know, those particular things. And it's, you know, it's really exciting for me to be able to do that. And unfortunately, the person that I'm interviewing may have it in their mind that they're like, are you sure that it's worth your time, like being able to interview you? And I kind of have to like break it down to them, like, of course, because if, you know, if you weren't able to do what you do on that project, it wouldn't work at all. If you're not bringing music to the television show that you're working on, to the film that you're working on, it's a completely naked thing. If anyone out there has had an opportunity to see, you know, a film without the theme that you have for a character that you like or a superhero that you like, it's a completely different thing. All of that stuff comes after the fact in post-production. A lot of people, you know, they like the, you know, what's the obvious thing. They like the director, the person who's, you know, making all the decisions. They like the actor, obviously, with their face plastered everywhere. But, you know, without those other elements, it's a collaborative process where a lot of other elements are needed in order for you to enjoy that particular thing. So I guess that kind of, you know, falls into it as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's definitely not the boring stuff for me. It's like if you talk to an actor about how you make a movie, it's pretty much going to be the same for each one, like great experience, yada, yada. But like you talk to the composers or the prop designers or the set designers or any of that, like that's where the really interesting stuff about a film or about any kind of project come out.
Exactly.
And was that something you kind of learned through doing Movers and Shakers, or did you learn that more through your background kind of in the industry?
More of my background in the industry. You know, I was fortunate enough to have parents that are, you know, really supportive of the career path that I wanted to do, where, you know, a lot of times when you say that you want to get into film or you want to get into television, a lot, you know, you normally push to go the easy route or the more comfortable route of, especially now, you know, living in DC where, you know, government is a big thing. And that's why a lot of people, you know, end up moving here. Let's call it spade to spade, because they, you know, they want to be able to have that cushion of having, you know, a federal job or a job in the government, because that, you know, that's a lot of times what draws people to DC. And I have relatives that are the same way, where they, you know, want to be able to have that cushion of being able to do that. So, you know, shouts out to, you know, parents and my parents and relatives who, you know, supported me really pursuing, you know, doing the film thing, whether it was in front of the camera or behind the camera, and give me an opportunity to, you know, do a lot of programs growing up, whether it was in grade school or even in high school. You know, there are a lot of resources out there where they have some preliminary film programs. One of them that I had an opportunity to do was with Catholic University, where they have it. I'm not sure if they still have it now, but, you know, they had an opportunity where over the summer they had you use the software that you would typically use if you're editing. You had to put together your own project, just like you would do if you were in college. So, you know, a lot of those things, having that foundation, and then upon having that foundation, just having an opportunity to kind of, you know, play with that and explore that, you know, in doing a lot of the media related stuff that I've been doing the past couple of years has been, you know, really rewarding.
Yeah. And I think getting exposed to it that young really shows you it's a potential, it's possible to, you know, put out your own stuff, and it's an actual path you can take.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm saying this is like maybe a couple of years ago when we were just, and you can attest to this, when we were just getting a lot of the digital related resources that we have now. I mean, kids today, you know, they're in a way better spot than we were you know, when we were growing up, where they have so many resources available to them to, you know, do a lot of this media related stuff. You know, it's so much easier now than it was maybe like 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, any of this, you know, they can do on an iPhone and edit it right there and get it out. But
exactly, in moments, in minutes.
But your show is definitely not produced on an iPhone because the production value is really, really well done.
Man, I appreciate it.
So yeah, I definitely want to talk about in front of the camera, but on the behind the camera part, what's the process there from shooting to editing to, you know, planning the interviews? What's the whole process like?
Well, knock on wood, like this, the pilot season that we have that's, you know, now available, I'm doing a quick plug, that's already available on Cox 11. If you don't have Cox 11, you can, you know, watch it digitally. And I know I'll probably have a chance to do it on the plugs of social media of things that I have. You can catch it on there. But anyway, long story short, it's just a matter of, this pilot season, I've been really fortunate, and many of the people that we had a chance to interview have all been, you know, good friends of mine. You know, I'm really fortunate that a lot of them do really cool things, knock on wood, but...
You got really cool friends?
Yeah, what can I say? The people that I had this season, a lot of them been friends. You know, shout out to Fernando Mico, who he's a festival director of Nova Film Festival, and he actually just had NovaCon that he had the first year for this year at the Ritz-Carlton. You have Ben Penrod, who's the co-founder of AwesomeCon that we have here in D.C., which is, you know, one of the fastest growing cons here on the East Coast outside of perhaps, you know, New York Comic Con and Dragon Con. And outside of that, you know, just having, I think that's kind of helped with facilitating that first season. It's going to be a little interesting going into the second and third season because, you know, while a lot of the opportunities and interviews that will be there will likely come through a friend of a friend versus going directly, you know, to the source and have an opportunity to just, you know, touch base with the source. But that helped a great deal in doing the interviews this pilot season. And then beyond that, it was just a matter of kind of squeezing in as much time to shoot as possible. So, like, give me an example. For some of the episodes that we had in speaking with some of the clients, we had to travel to the West Coast for a weekend, knock out a couple of interviews, and, you know, do some B-roll on top of that, and we had to squeeze all of that in on a weekend. You know, mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, are you willing to be flexible, not only with the person's schedule that you're speaking with, but also being cognizant of time management and being aware of things that you can do to maximize the amount of bang for your buck that you're getting. Because, I mean, just traveling to the West Coast on a whim is not something that's everyone can do. And then on top of that, I wouldn't suggest everyone to do. But, you know, because of it, also forced me and my colleague Jerome to actually, like I said, maximize that time that was spent there, because, you know, you have money on the line in terms of, you know, traveling there, and you don't want any of that, you know, time to be wasted. So that would be the two main things that I would suggest for anyone, is having that time management component, having a clear idea of, you know, what you're going to accomplish and what you're going to try to get done over a period of time, or the time that you have with that particular guest. And then lastly, to also, I would say, never take for granted a moment that you have to network, because a lot of these, you know, friends by happen chance that I have now, you know, I can remember a lot of stories on how I met a lot of a lot of these, you know, friends that I have now. And it was something that just happened by chance that couldn't be foreseen. But just because, you know, you're at the right place at the right time, or, you know, because of the situation that you guys are placed in, you guys end up hitting it off. Like, I'll give you an example. Fernando, who I just mentioned earlier, I actually didn't meet him. He actually introduced himself to me at a horror film festival that we had here in Maryland that I go to every year. And he saw me interviewing Ed Sanchez. I don't know if you guys out there who know who Ed Sanchez is, the co-director of the Blair Witch Project, the original. Oh. I was interviewing him for, I'm brain farting on the film that he did, the Bigfoot film that he did. But anyway, I was interviewing him for that. And afterwards, you know, I had this gentleman come up and say, you know, I'm doing a new film festival, and here's my card, and, you know, give me a call. Let me know if you like be interested in doing it. If I never pursued, you know, that situation where, I listened and followed up with him and called him back, I probably never, A, would have been able to do, you know, the Nova Film Festival, which is an impressive film festival in its own right, for A. And then B, I wouldn't have had an opportunity to do NovaCon, which was this past weekend, because he founded that con, and, you know, we've remained friends since then. And on top of that, I wouldn't have been able to interview him for the segment or the episode that we had on Festival Directors. So it's kind of, it's just like a building block where, you know, just because you're taking the initiative and you're following up and following through into things that people are giving you the opportunity for, you know, it just builds and builds upon itself. And I mean, I'm sure there are probably plenty of situations like that for you. You could probably think of offhand where, you know, something where for someone else, they may kind of like blow it off situation. And because it wasn't something which you blew off and you actually pursued it, it actually developed into something when you look back on it that was pretty major.
Yeah. And I'm kind of on the other side of I need to give my business card out more. Like, just for him to come up to you and hand the business card like that ended up a lot of opportunities on his end too. So it definitely sounds like it worked out for both of you.
Yeah. Definitely.
And is that something, as far as like finding people to come on the show and getting more, press out about the show, has that been mostly through live connections like that, or what's been the best ways you've connected with people and gotten the word out?
It's been a combination of what I was just mentioning, and it's also been, you know, the idea of brand recognition, because the show appears on Cox Cable. You know, everyone knows what Cox Cable is, and, you know, just by having that name recognition, a lot of times that can, you know, knock on wood, it can open, you know, some doors for you. So, you know, we've been fortunate, me and my colleague have been fortunate in that regard, in that a lot of times just having, you know, that brand recognition can help, you know, get you through the door as well. And I mean, with that being said, while it can still get you through the door, you still have to obviously have, you know, the credentials to back it up. While it may get, you know, someone to, you know, give you the time of day, you still have to, you know, show them that you're stepping the correct way, whether it's being ready, you know, for that said interview that they're providing for you, you know, just all the standard typical things that you need, you know, having your equipment ready to go, you know, like I said, coming on time when you guys have it scheduled, and you know, just being having just a professional, you know, way about you. A wise person once told me, and then I'm sure it may be in other people's that have heard this as well, but it's better to underpromise and overdeliver than the opposite of, you know, promising to overdeliver and not, you know, delivering on anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always great advice. And yeah, and then when you are kind of, you know, have made this promise and you finally get someone into an interview, then you kind of have to make sure you're prepared for that interview and you crush it on the front of the camera end.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that's nice is, you know, going back to my background, I actually was a theater major. So because of that background that I've had, it's helped a great deal in doing interviews, because a lot of that skill set that's required being on the stage is that you have to always, you know, be ready on the fly for anything that may come at you. You know, yeah, you may have a designated script that you may go by, but, you know, what if the interview goes in another direction and you guys start talking about something else that may be, you know, just as fascinating? You still have to be able to kind of go with those punches and still follow along with the interview and still have that kind of improvisation where you're able to not stick strictly to your script, because sometimes the best stuff that information that you get is just kind of just having a conversation. You know, you'll use the interview questions just as a basis or a skeleton of what you're going to say, if you will. But a lot of times the best things come out of what's been, you know, improvised.
I actually just talked to Alyssa Franks from Friends of Comic-Con, and she said her theater background prepared her in the exact same way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's awesome. I actually met you guys at the same time at the Game of Bloggers event.
Sure did, yeah.
Yeah, and that was an awesome way to meet some people in the industry and kind of get a better feel for what the whole blogging Comic-Con industry is like.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, there's so many, a lot of times people, you know, give you an idea of you have to go this particular route. And I mean, I know we're having this conversation about, you know, helping folks that are, you know, perhaps seeking to, you know, break in. But I would just say, you know, find a niche that you're good at, and just, you know, stick with that niche. Don't try to find yourself like copying someone's way or manner that they do it. Try to find a niche for yourself, because that's going to take you further than trying to copy, you know, the process of someone else or the structure of someone else's project.
Yeah, I think since we're quoting wise men, I think someone said either have an original idea or do something in an original way.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of, to have something stand out, it has to meet one of those.
Because the thing is, like, yeah, while while you have a lot of folks that tend to kind of copy, you know, someone's brand or copy or their the manner in which they do it, the problem with that is that you're going to get lost among all the other imitators that are out there versus, mm-hmm. you know, being able to, you know, stand out on your own. And I mean, I think a lot of times people kind of get caught up in copying, you know, another, standard, because they think that it's, you know, they want to take the quick route of, oh, you know, it's all about, you know, getting those likes up or, you know, getting those followers. And if I follow, you know, this structure, then it's going to equal what the trajectory that I'm seeing with this particular individual. And yeah, you know, it's not going to come overnight. There are going to be times where you feel that, you know, perhaps your voice is not, you know, being heard. But if you can, you know, create a good, you know, reputation among the folks that you do, you know, deal with, whether it's, you know, PR people or agents or managers, and you build upon that, I promise you, it's a domino effect. Over time, it's going to really start to pick up for you. I promise.
Yeah, is that how it started for you? Just getting a lot of connections with different press people and agents and stuff, or how did you kind of build up in the early stages?
Well, in the early stages, it was really just a matter of making sure you get your foot in the door, and I would just say, just get out there and start taking the initiative to cover, you know, some events. I think that's the issue that a lot of people have, you know, getting started, is that there's a lot of people that are talkers and not a lot of people that are doers, where they'll talk about, you know, what they're going to do. And instead of just doing that, they just need to go out there and do it. Instead of talking about it, just go out there and do it. Once you do that, then everything else, you know, you can develop. You can develop a process for. So, you know, do that first event. Make sure that you come correct with the things that you need in order to properly cover that event. If you know that you're going to be doing interviews, make sure you find out, like, what type of interviews you're going to be doing. Are you going to be doing kind of guerrilla style, where you're just going to have to, you know, grab the artists or the guests, you know, when you can? You know, some events are like that. You have to be prepared for that. Some other events, you know, it may be a little more structured, where you may be sent to a press room, and it may be a situation where you're doing a conference table, or you may be doing a press line. I mean, you know, you're familiar with that. It's a whole process unto itself, depending on what you're provided the opportunity to do. But just be prepared and have an idea of how you're going to be able to cover that show. And then on top of that, just be prepared. Have some, you know, business cards at the ready. You know, you never know who you might run into, anyone who you might meet. It may be a situation as mundane as, you know, you go into a coffee shop that's nearby the venue space that you're at. And it may be someone that's covering, you know, working on the show, and they may be able to, you know, assist you with something. You know, you develop a rapport with that person. Who knows what, you know, what that, you know, relationship may develop into. So it's just a matter of having a game plan going to an event, and then B, you know, being ready for, you know, what may come once you're there.
Yeah, I've actually never attended an event as press, but I do plan on at my next con doing some guerrilla interviews, as you say, which I like. Any tips for that?
Yeah, like, I would just say, just make sure, just taking initiative and kind of having, when you're doing, I'll be honest with you, and you know, some people out there may not like it, but in doing the guerrilla, you know, interviewing, you have to have an elevator pitch. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when you're dealing with, I always call them gatekeepers. You have a gatekeeper who's the quote unquote handler for the guest. So it could be just a regular volunteer. It could be their agent. It could be their manager, what have you. It is just a matter of just having an elevator pitch and understanding, you know, they get hit up for having, you know, their client interviewed all the time. You know, what are you going to do to kind of stand out and also highlight the fact that you're not going to be take a long time in terms of, you know, the time that you're spending with their client, and then B, that you're at the ready when they're able to possibly accept that request and allow you to interview their client. So those are the two big things.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be fumbling with the camera or recorder when you got 2 minutes to talk.
Yeah, you have to be able to step, like I said, going back to the idea, you have to step correct. You have to be ready for what you're going to say, be able to reply back with any excuses that they may have or issues that may come up, and just trying to, you know, convince them that the interview is going to be as easy as possible, as quick as possible. And a lot of times, you know, if you're able to do it that way, or if you're flexible in the time that you that they're able to accommodate it, then it knock on wood, more times out of 10, it'll end up working out. But like I said, it's its own thing. And sometimes, you know, you have those events out there that are not even going to allow you to do that. So it's just a matter of understanding what you're getting yourself into beforehand, because, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you're going to an expo, you're going to a con, you're going to a film festival, and, you know, you may be covering it as press, but, you know, did you find out if their policy that they're having for that show, that you have to go through the publicity person for the festival in order to ask for an interview? I hope you do, because if you don't, then, you know, hopefully it's not a situation where you travel to that film festival and come to find out that you're not even going to be able to interview anybody because you didn't go through the proper channels. So, like, mm-hmm. it's just a matter of handling a lot of those logistics beforehand and reaching out to the necessary channels beforehand. And it goes back again to that time management piece and that maximizing your time.
Yeah, because if you have all those interviews scheduled ahead of time, that must make for some hectic cons.
It does, but it also makes it way easier, because if it's a situation where, there's situations like that where it's a combination of both. Sometimes it may be some guerrilla, you know, interviewing, and sometimes I had to go through the proper channel. But while it can be hectic of having, you know, interviews and folks to speak to, it makes it easier, because what if you have a point of contact and it's a situation where you had to reschedule the interview and they have like a gatekeeper in the place that you're scheduled to do the interview, and they're like, you know, shutting you down from interviewing the person, but you're able to name drop, oh, well, actually I spoke to X, Y, and Z person and they told me that I needed to meet them here. Oh, by the way, here's their card. I have their number. I can call them now if you want. No, that's okay. Okay, all right, I got you. So it's just a manner of, again, just going, having, if you're able to have a point of contact, a lot of times that makes it easier. Even if you have a lot of a lot of guests that you're speaking to, you know, logistically, you know, they understand too that you may not be able to reach all of them, you know, within 10 minutes of each other. So wouldn't it be better to be able to call them directly and let them know, hey, you know, will we be able to do it at this time, versus, you know, hoping, oh gosh, like if I do this interview and finish this interview, will I be able to make it halfway across the exhibit hall floor to get to the next person? Oh, and I don't have a contact number for them. Oh man, I hope they don't have people trying to get autographs in their line, because I'm gonna have to wait behind them as well. So, you know, it's so many, you know, logistical things that can come into play if you are guerrilla interviewing. Like I said, I'm not against it, but it can be helpful if you're able to plan ahead of time and there is someone that you can reach directly to help with that or facilitate that.
Yeah, and then you know the trip will be worth it for you if you have them all lined up ahead of time.
Exactly.
And then are you going to continue to do interviews at conventions and that sort of scene, or are you moving on to other industries? What's the future for Movers and Shakers?
So, going back to that idea of branding, on the TV end, you know, we'll still be covering, you know, various industries. However, we do have other umbrellas that we've opened up where we'll continue to cover cons and expos, because at the base of it, you know, me and my colleague, we're into all of those events too. We're into, you know, Comic-Con, we're into, you know, car shows, and sometimes the TV show may not necessarily accommodate that based on, you know, what we're, you know, discussing, the topic that we're discussing. So it's just a matter of kind of branching that out and making different avenues available for either our readers that, you know, read some of our stuff, or our viewers.
Yeah, and if you're going to be at those conventions anyway, how can you not bring a camera with you, right?
Exactly. It's so much to see, as you know. So much.
Yeah. So that's kind of the future plans. The new segment that I have is We All Start Somewhere. So can you talk about the very first piece of content you created?
Oh, gosh. I want to say, I don't know where to start. Are you saying on the end of doing kind of like the interviews? Are you saying long before that, like, performing in front of camera, like what exactly?
I mean, you can go all the way back to your, you know, elementary school play, or you can talk about, you know, kind of the first professional thing you did, whatever the first one that comes to mind.
Okay. Well, I guess for me, I mean, there were a couple, I guess you can call them like milestones. You know, I've been fortunate just where I live that, you know, outside of the West Coast, a lot of times DC is a space where a lot of films come into town, especially if it's anything like spy related or espionage related or anything in that vein. So having an opportunity to do and people, I always get a kick out of Mars Attacks. Actually, part of the shot here. I was able to have opportunity to work on that as a kid, as a Boy Scout. Doing that, having an opportunity to going back to even some of the resources that are available, being able to do public access as well as some of the high school programs with some of the colleges that are in the area that they have available for students that are interested in editing, you know, just having opportunity to understand that process and to kind of get a hands-on lesson on being able to, you know, edit your own content was something that was priceless for me. And it's something that, you know, as I said, even though I didn't continue like doing that editing piece later on, you know, having that exposure in high school was enough to keep me, you know, interested in it and pursuing it. Because, you know, sometimes while it can be boring sometimes to see the magic that happened, to kind of get ruined on the magic that happens by finding out what happens behind the camera. You know, there's a lot of, you know, fascinating aspects where it kind of comes all together for you. And you're like, wow, okay, so I can actually, you know, make my film and I can edit it the way I like and have it transition, you know, between scenes the way I like. And, oh, you know, I can add music and I can do, you know, X, Y, and Z. And, you know, I think that the idea of being able to do that was kind of really opened my mind to, you know, the possibilities of, you know, what's possible.
Awesome. Yeah. And I did, my own community had like a public access channel that showed us how all that worked at like 10 years old or whatever it was.
And I recommend that to anybody, you know, as you're commenting on that, is, you know, take advantage of those resources that you have in your community. Like, really, you know, do some research and see what's available to you. Trust me, you'll be surprised some of the things that may be available to you if you look. If you look actively, there's going to be things out there that, you know, may help you in your development. So don't take it for granted.
Yeah, that's definitely great advice.
Because I mean, I'm one of those weird people now because of you know, having that exposure in high school of what happens behind the scenes, that like if I'm getting a DVD or if I'm getting a Blu-ray, I'll probably refuse to buy it if it doesn't have any type of commentary on it or behind the scenes, you know, elements on it, because you know, I find it fascinating, you know, just being able to listen to, you know, a TV show or a film and to get the comment, not just from the actors, obviously, but from the other people behind the scenes, the crew members, whether they're producers or the directors or the writers, about a lot of the things that you don't even realize that happen behind the scenes. Maybe, you know, this particular scene was completely improv because they were having an issue, you know, with a particular prop that day. Or maybe they were having an issue with, you know, maybe an actor injured themselves and you didn't even know that they injured themselves in that scene. But because of that action sequence, it played out a certain way, or it was re-choreographed because of something that happened to the actor. And you would never know that unless you actually listen to the commentary. So, you know, I'm one of those weird ones that actually enjoy being able to, you know, take advantage of that and take that in.
Yeah, it definitely makes you see the movie in a whole new light. I think some of my favorites are only my favorites because I know all that extra stuff about them, and I can kind of, you know, while you're watching them, you enjoy that, and you nudge the buddy next to you, you tell him he doesn't care. And
right. It's like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
But, I mean, this has been awesome, Brandon. Do you have one piece of advice for someone just starting out trying to build a show or a geek brand?
Start.
Yep.
I mean, going back to what I was saying before, there really isn't any, like book that you can just read and say, okay, this is what I have to do. Let me go down this list and do, you know, A, B, C, D. And just go down the list and say, that's all the things that you have to do. I would just say, just go out there, find resources, like I said, that are available to you that can help you in your development. If there's something that you're really trying to pursue, network, create, I always say, like, assemble, you know, your team. I've heard plenty of people say this, and, you know, I realized subconsciously or, you know, intuitively that I've done it, but I didn't really think about it. But it's very imperative to, for people that are comic folks out there, assembling your Avengers. So,
news team, assemble.
Exactly. You know, you may have, While it's great that you're able to do multiple things, and I feel that it's important that you're able to do multiple things. If you know, when I say that, you know, being able to write your own script, being able to speak in front of the camera, being able to edit, being able to, you know, direct the scene. While it's great, and I highly encourage you to have that skill set, it's always better to find someone who can do those things better, because if you're able to find a team member that can do those things better, then you don't have to worry about that aspect. You can delegate that off and have someone handle that, because that's something that they're interested in doing. So, you know, you may have someone who's a better writer than you. You know, don't get be threatened by that. You know, take advantage of that and, you know, include them on your team. You may have someone who's a better director than you. You know, don't take that for granted. You know, continue to network with them, and, you know, who knows, there may be a time later down the line where they may need you for something that they need, you know, a performer for, or vice versa. So I would just say, A, you know, like I said, find resources to help you in your development, network, create a team for yourself, because I don't know how many times there have been situations where, you know, I've had an opportunity to do things because, you know, I met this person who knew this person who met that person who knew this person, or they were the source that I needed to go to, and I didn't have to go through a lot of channels because I knew who the source was. And then also what I mentioned at the beginning, being prepared. Because once all of those things come at you, and there are going to be times where it comes at you at once. You know, there's maybe a situation where, say if you're working on something and you're working with a colleague on something, covering an event, they may not be able to do it. You need to be ready, you know, ready to go to, you know, jump in and, you know, sub in for them. And who knows, you know, that may be your opportunity to, you know, develop a niche for yourself. Mm-hmm. So all of those things I feel are, you know, imperative. But outside of that, you know, just get out there and start, because I know too many folks, like I said before, friends, relatives or otherwise, where, you know, they have these dreams and, you know, they have these, these ideas of things that they want to do. And I mean, life is too short, man. Like, just get out there and do it. You don't want to, you know, look back on something and say, oh man, I wish I would have done, you know, this, or I wish I would have done that. Just get out there and do it.
Yeah, that's why I've started the new question of asking people about their first piece of content, because it's usually going to be bad. And you just keep going and it gets better over time. And you just got to start.
That's the key, man. Just got to start.
So, Brandon, where can people connect with you and watch Movers and Shakers? And do you know when the second season's going to be starting?
So, tentatively, we will be starting in the winter of this year. But we will be, you know, making an official announcement on our, you know, social media channels. So I guess I'll start with that. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram, Movers and Movers Shakers Unlimited. You can find us on Twitter, Move and Shake, UNLTD. Let me see. You can find me on Twitter, Brandon Choi ENT, Brandon Choi _ENT on Instagram. But yeah, we're all over the place. You know, if you check us out on those social media channels, you can kind of get an idea of, you know, what we're up to next. We're always seem to be up to something or somewhere. But yeah.
Awesome. And then you can watch the first season, right?
Yeah, and you can watch, actually, thank you. You can watch the first season. It's actually in syndication now on Cox cable channels 9/11, 74, and 77. But if you don't have those channels, you can stream it on Cox11.com. They are changing, from my understanding, they're changing the manner in which you can stream a lot of their programming. So I know that soon they'll be transitioning it to their syndicated shows onto a YouTube platform, but you know, we'll keep everyone a wind of that on social media. So in the meantime, you can, you know, check it out on cox11.com.
Awesome. All right, Brandon, this has been great. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
There you have it, guys. Really cool talking to Brandon Choi from Movers and Shakers Unlimited. The one thing that, again, I thought was really worth stressing, is because he mentioned it a couple times, is just get started. You know, there's definitely that feeling that you want to get everything just right before launching something. And if you're debating starting a geek brand now, just get started. But it's also a situation of, you know, start at a young age, especially, you know, if you have kids, or if you are a younger listener, you know, he mentioned taking advantage of, you know, student and community resources, and, you know, starting your education and learning about all the stuff that you might be passionate about as early on as possible. This past weekend, I actually talked to my 10-year-old cousin. He showed me his YouTube channel. He does cartoon animated videos, and it was amazing that to see him getting started at, you know, such a young age, and developing this new skill. And you know, he's trying to grow his subscriber base and grow a following and a brand, and he's doing a great job so far. Coleo Cartoons, I'll give him a shout out. And yeah, it's one of those, like, I was very jealous of him getting such a young start on something he's passionate about. It was so cool to see. So you can make sure to tune into Movers and Shakers Unlimited at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Cox 9, 11, 74, and 77, or view episodes online at movershakersunlimited.com or cox11.com, and follow them on Twitter at MoveNShake, UNLTD, and on Facebook at Move and Shake UNLTD. and on YouTube and Instagram. You can also follow Brandon at Brandon Troy ENT on Twitter and Brandon Troy _ ENT on Instagram. And speaking of Instagram, that is my entrepreneur journey of the week. Is I actually had a good success on Instagram last week. One of my posts got it's over 6,600 likes now, which before that I had not cracked 200 likes. So it was a crazy spike. And I know part of it was because it was just a really cool picture. It was a woman had done makeup on half her face to look like Groot, and it was just, it was mind-blowing, and it looked so cool. And if you haven't seen it, check it out on Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast. So that, you know, I got the pic at Boston Comic Con last weekend. So I know that's definitely a large part of it, but I'm also trying to learn from other ways to repeat that. And, you know, there were hashtags that I added in there that I had never used before, you know, like makeup, FX makeup, stuff like that. I posted it later in the evening than I usually do. And I think that, that may have helped it get some different traffic. So those are a couple of the things that I'm experimenting with more is, you know, trying to find some of those unused hashtags that might be different niches that would be interested in the show, and experimenting with different times of day to see, you know, to try to find some new users that way that I may be missing. So that is that was cool to have that small success, and it's something I'm going to try to learn from going forward. So if you want to see my Instagram fumblings, you can follow me at Under the Capes Podcast. And if you want to see me stumble around other social networks, I'm on Twitter at Under the Capes and Facebook at Under the Capes. Also, be sure to head over to underthecapes.com/episode17 for all the show notes for this episode. And to give us a rating or review, head over to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you happen to be listening from. And anywhere else you can get in contact with me, it would be great to hear from you, get some feedback. Let me know anything that you'd like me to cover, anyone you'd like me to have on, or any feedback on the show. That would be awesome. So until next week, I will see you guys later, and thanks for listening.